Today on Real Life Radio.
We must know our place in this battle. This is good news. Temptation, what are we to do? Hey, know your place in this battle. Our place is hidden in Christ. Can you write that down, please, Christian? Our place is hidden in Christ. That's what the Bible says about us. Our lives are hidden in Christ.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Temptation, What Are We to Do? And this is part two. You see, temptation is something that takes us away from God. Whether a thought or an action, it's Satan's weapon of choice. You know, it's not a sin to be tempted. It can really invade us through our thoughts. It's only when we act upon those thoughts that becomes sin. But when we take our thoughts captive, we can have the victory over temptation. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we're to not only know our enemy's strengths, but also his weaknesses. Satan has an overdeveloped ego which causes him to believe his own lies. Everything is skewed in his mind, and his goal is to drown us in a world of lies. But the truth is, our place in this battle is to simply obey the Lord and serve only him. Now in his message called Temptation, What Are We to Do? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Satan does that. Hey, come on, take this. And there's not one thing that Satan will offer you and I that's satisfactory. Oh, it's wonderful for the moment. As the Bible says, sin is pleasurable for a season. That's true. But you know what? You know aftertaste. You know what that is? You know, you bite into something. Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's great. And then 5 minutes later, it's like, oh, it's terrible. That's what Satan offers. Oh, look, do this. I'm giving you this. Look, I'm offering you this. Ooh, it's so nice. Yeah, but remember, it has a price tag on it. And it's going to sting. But he loves that. And he falls for that in his own mind. He seeks to imprison people. Satan desires to exaggerate the facts, taking the truth and twisting it to the point where it's palatable to anybody and everybody. Jesus is standing firm. Jesus quotes the Bible. Jesus is winning this war. So Satan elevates it to temptation number two, and he's exaggerating things. Yes, he speaks the truth in parts, but what Satan offers Jesus is very, very temporary. But his plan is to overwhelm. Look at the third thing under verse 5, is that you and I must know our enemy's plan, and that is that Satan desires to disable you and I. Did you know that? To disable you and I in two ways, or I should say on two fronts. Church, watch me. If I'm fighting a front on this left-hand side of the sanctuary, imagine this is a war zone, and you are an enemy of certain powers. My attack against you and to defend myself against you is different than the attack that's going to be launched on this side of the sanctuary. It's a different enemy. And so divide right down the middle. Please don't take this personally, but you guys are all non-believers for my arguments. You guys on this side are all believers. Satan comes over here to you on this side, and his desire, listen, you're going to be shocked. It's Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible there tells us that Satan's desire is to keep you dead. I find that highly offensive. I don't look dead, I don't smell dead, and you're calling me dead. I'm sorry, let me be accurate. You're spiritually dead. The Bible says you're spiritually dead. The Bible says that I was spiritually dead until God woke me up. You're spiritually dead. If I were to be Satan, and I'm attacking you, I'm going to use an attack against you that is completely different than the attack I'm going to use on a believer. Why? Number one, I want to keep you spiritually dead. I do not want you to be thinking correct spiritual thoughts. Underline that. Correct spiritual thoughts. I want you thinking spiritual thoughts because I know that you are a daughter of Eve or a son of Adam, and you've got that thinking in your mind. There's a leftover effervescent of the kingdom in your heart, and you're wondering, and you ask questions like, is God real? Don't you? Is there a a heaven or a hell after I die? Could evolution be false and God be true? And wonder what... All these thoughts, Satan will allow you to think spiritual thoughts, but he'll steer you away. Thus, he produces false prophets and false teachings. You got that? He knows you're going to think spiritual thoughts. He just needs to create a smokescreen to keep you dead. And he doesn't care how spiritual you get, as long as you don't get born again. Okay, well, I have a PhD and I have a doctorate in theology. So what? Are you going to heaven? So are you born again? On this side of the room, we've got the believer. Satan comes up to you and he says, man, lost them. They're sealed with the Holy Spirit under the day of Christ. They've been born again. I lost them. Well, anyway, to keep them from bringing anyone else with them, like their husband or wife or their kids, I'll sterilize them. I'll spiritually sterilize them. How do I do that? Satan will say. Condemnation. That's it. They're really prone to beating themselves up once they know the love of God because they feel so unworthy. So the moment they sin, and oh, they will sin, instead of them trusting in the fact that they can confess to God and be forgiven, I will immediately jump on their back and ride them to the wall on how bad of a Christian they are. And I will convince them that they're not even worthy to name the name of Jesus. And I'll get them, when I'm done with them, sitting in the corner as they curl up in the fetal position and suck their thumb, never sharing Jesus with anybody, never doing anything spiritual, never even being able to offer up a sound, a peep of worship to God. I lost them to heaven forever. However, I'll see to it that they take nobody with them. Did you hear that? These guys are gone. He's afraid of you. And that's why that old hymn says, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Why? Father, and the kingdom of hell shakes. The Bible says that when the devils, when Satan and the demons think about God, they tremble. Did you know that? The word in Greek is goose skin, turkey skin. You ever seen a naked turkey? See those bumps? That's what that Greek word means. They get all freaky skin. Oh. Terrified of God. Terrified of the Christian, by the way, who calls out to God. So his plan is to sterilize you. How does Satan in his plan seek to disable you? Keep you dead. Don't find the right path. Keep you from sharing Christ with anybody else. So I want to leave you with this question. What are all of you doing as Christians to advance the gospel of God? Well, Pastor, I can't speak publicly. I didn't ask you that. What are you doing with the quarter in your pocket? Dedicated to God. What are you doing with your energy? What are you doing with your time? Invest it in getting the gospel to the world. And there's a million different means to do that. It's amazing that people who listen to the radio program, they send in money to keep the radio program going. We don't even know who these people are. But they're being touched, so they send in money so we can get into other countries or to other cities. They're doing their part. When you put money in the offering here, you're not, I got to give to God. Listen, if that's your attitude, come see me later. I'll give you your money back. That's the wrong heart and the wrong life. The people who say, here's $5. God, use it to your glory. There's a host of people that praise God, use this money to your glory. How will Jesus be blessed? This is very, very important. Is the kingdom of God dependent upon me or upon you in the advancement of the gospel? How dependent are other Christians on my life to serve Christ in this church? That announces the level of your involvement, the level of your worship, the level of your passion for God. See, well, I'm just visiting. Well, then go home to the church that you go to and serve. Worship. Act. Do. And your life will never be the same. It'd be wonderful. And so he seeks to disable us. Point number two is found in verse 6. Temptation, what are we to do? You must know your enemy's strengths. Yes, Satan's strong. But he's no match for God. Yes, it's true. I'm no match for Satan. I mean, I'm just a human. But you know what? I love when you read the Bible. God makes it very clear in the book of Corinthians concerning us who are Christians. He will not share us with evil demonic activity. A Christian cannot be possessed by an evil spirit. A non-Christian can. God will not allow anything else to occupy his temple. And you are, the Bible says, the temple of the Lord. Think of that. It's wonderful. You are so valuable to the Lord. Yes, the enemy's strong. Know his strengths, and the more you know about his strengths, the weaker he becomes. Number one, what can Satan use against us? And of course, there's not enough time in the day to list them all, but one of the things that we realize here in our study is that when he announces, look, he says, all authority is mine, I can give it to whomever I choose. That's true. And the glory of them. That's true too. It's been delivered to me. True again. And I can give it whoever I wish. True. Satan speaks the truth here. He said, when did he get all the power? Adam and Eve gave it to him. Remember those of you who went to the book of Revelation with us together? Revelation chapter 5, what did we see Jesus do? Take the scroll. Remember that? That was the title deed to the earth. When Jesus went to the cross and when he rose again from the dead, he got back what Adam and Eve handed over to Satan in the Garden of Eden. That's why the Bible church, note this, don't be upset by it, note it, and thereby gain victory when the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, little g. He's the ruler of this age. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the atmosphere in which you and I live in. He's got power. He's got great influence, and the only way out of this alive is by getting out of his kingdom and coming into the kingdom of God's own dear son. Where are you in this war? And so we see him. Yes, he's correct on this matter, but note this. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan's attack that he launches against us. Now, church, you're going to laugh at me for a minute. Let me explain this. When I pray with that verse in mind, Lord, I just ask you to just protect us as a church. I ask you whatever I'm praying for. When I pray, because I've got a brain of a five-year-old, when I pray, I see, when I pray like that aggressively or preemptively, I'm attacking. I see rockets go off in my head. I mean, I see a cruise missile. Lord, I pray that you would just stop the forces of darkness against the people at Calvary Chapel. That's how I pray. Lord, and God. You say, Jack, you're nuts. Well, in Ephesians 6, verse 16, it says that we are to attack, to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, of Satan. The word is belos in Greek. The word translated from the Greek into the English is the word missile. To quench the burning, blazing, fiery attack that Satan launches against us. What's it like? It's like a burning missile. Don't sit there and take it. Oh. Pray one back. Get on your knees, pray, fight in the Spirit. It's awesome. And you know what? I'm convinced when we sit there, Lord, oh, I think he just goes, yes. When we're crying out to him, Lord God. I wonder what that, wouldn't you love to see that when you pray? Have you ever seen a crowd of like little antelope or something in Africa on TV and the mother goes, meh, and out of the 10,000 little fawns or whatever you call them, the one comes running up to the mom. Don't you think if God put that in an animal, that when you cry out, God, Lord, yes. I know this to be true. It's awesome. Know the enemy's strengths? Yes. What can he use against us? Well, he'll attack us. Doubt, fear, all these things. But you know what? Not to worry. We can counter back when he launches these missiles. Secondly, what can Satan actually do to us? Again, I mentioned a moment ago when he says all authority, all this glory, it's all mine. I can give it to whomever I want. That's true, but what can he actually do to us? Church, listen, remember, it's going to be father filtered what he does. Can I watch this? You say, Jack, how can that be father filtered? When I went online and looked at this dirty website, well, you knucklehead. Satan put the thought in your head. Satan tempted you. And you thought to yourself, well, you're falling for it. Did God know that was going to happen? Yes. Why didn't God stop it? Because God is building you up in Christ. He wants you to scream and cry out to the Word of God and the will of God. What are you doing with it? You're going toward the very thing that could hurt you instead of obeying the one who loves you. God doesn't make robots. He doesn't tempt anybody with evil or with sin. Satan's quite able to do that. What's revealed is the fact that we would yield or lean toward what Satan's offering. Just keep this in mind next time he comes knocking at our door, is that what Satan's offering is very temporary. Look what he says. He sounds very authoritative. I've got all authority. I'll give you everything I got. Here's the question of somebody who's thinking. How long will it last? I've got all authority. You guys, the moment from Jesus and Satan encountered this battle, he had about 3 years left. Because Satan was going to be defeated at the cross. I'll give you everything. Church, listen, isn't that how he speaks to us in this world? I will give you everything. Look, you can have it all. Ask how long. Some investors invest for 5 minutes. Some investors invest for a lifetime. They don't care as long as they make what? Money. What do you think Satan cares? I'll give you all of this. All of it? Yes. It may last for a half an hour. Know your enemy, know his strengths, know his powers, know what he can use against us, and know what he can actually do. He's very limited. He just repackages things quite effectively. Here's the amazing thing about it, you guys. God the Father in Psalm 2, 1,000 years before this recorded event of Luke 4, in Psalm chapter 2, God the Father announces to God the Son, the Messiah Jesus, that after the millennium, or I should say before the millennium age would begin, the Father would give the Son all the kingdoms of the world forever. Jesus knew that verse. Satan comes with a temporary offer. You don't think that was a real temptation, though. You're wrong. That it was not real. It was real because Jesus was in great pain and great suffering. And so he's attempting to get Jesus to look at it. And before we press on to the third point, you know the Antichrist. You know all about him, right? Satan's going to offer the Antichrist this temptation. What do you think he's going to say to it? Oh, he's going to take it. According to the book of Revelation, he's going to take it. Hook, line, and sinker. Point number 3 is found in verse 7, temptation. And what are we to do? You must know your enemy's weaknesses. We know his strengths. We are to know his weaknesses. Number 1 weakness of Satan is that he's got an overdeveloped ego, that's for sure. He's impressed with himself. He says, therefore, if you will worship before me, can you believe he's saying this to God Almighty? Isn't this kind of weird? It seems weird for me to say it. It's like, come on, Satan, you're not that twisted, are you? This is real. He is standing before God in human skin. And he's trying to pit the Son against the Father. Oh, I've got all authority. What did Jesus say to that? Anything? Not a word. It's true. You can have it. Just worship me. Freaky. Therefore, if you will worship before me, the ego, pride, self, and self-centeredness. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, there are six things that God hates. Yes, 7 are an abomination to God. Number 1 at the top of the list is ego or pride. God says, I hate pride. Why? Because first of all, it is stupid. Stupid. To think that as a mere human, I have something to be proud about? When I consider the eternal realm and God and the scope of all that is forever, what am I? It's ignorant. Think about it. Now watch this. Satan is the personification of pride and ego. Self-centeredness is where it comes from. Everything in Satan's mind, from what we see of him in the Bible, what he says and what's recorded of him, is self-centered. From start to finish. I'm going to ask you to jot down these verses. We have no time to look them up. They're huge, by the way. Read Isaiah chapter 14 and read Ezekiel chapter 28. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. Why? That will tell you very covert, top secret, classified information about Satan. It's available for everybody to read, but very few people read it. I'll give you a little bit of a stimulator. In Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, it tells you about the nature of Satan, who, first of all, was named what? Lucifer. Very good. Lucifer, son of the morning. You were perfect since the day you were created. Yes, he was created. Colossians chapter 1 says so. You were perfect in all of your ways, and you were the epitome of wisdom, O Lucifer. And you led the stars of God in worship. Satan was the worship leader in heaven, Lucifer. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, especially, read it to your young kids. They'll see this much more clearly than you and I do as older people. Almost said old people, but I meant to say older people. Kids see this perfectly. There the scriptures will tell you that your hands, Lucifer, were like tambourines. Your sides, they're pipes. He's music. Isn't it weird? He is a living, breathing, walking, moving music machine. And he led the angels of heaven in worship to God. Until what happened? Until pride was found in your heart. God, it says, cast him out of heaven into hell. When Satan said, Lucifer said, I will be like God. Do you recognize that kind of talk? He used it in the Garden of Eden. He got tripped up by his own sin. What was his doctrine? I want to be like God. Megalomaniac. I want to be like God. He says, it's recorded. The very words of Satan are recorded in Isaiah and Ezekiel. I want to be like God. I want to have my throne above his. I want to be like the Most High. I want to rule and reign. And God says, behold, thou art brought down to hell. And he says, in the end, the nations will look at you. They'll look at Satan and say, is this the one who caused the earth to tremble? He's become just like us. He's become as weak as us. Interesting, huh? Satan is possessed by his ego. And he plays upon people. He knows how powerful that is. Also, look with me. He says, all will be yours. Satan has no sense of reality. He really believes this because he's the father of lies. And if you tell a lie long enough, what does it happen? Nobody else believes it. But if you tell a lie long enough, what happens to you? You believe it. It's dangerous. All will be yours. Sounds like a game show host. Jesus, just come forward and all will be yours. He's out of control. He has no sense of reality. And he offers these things, and it's all yours. It's going to satisfy you. But it's not true, and it's not real. Fourth and final point, we'll end with this. It's in verse 8. We must know our place in this battle. This is good news. Temptation, what are we to do? Hey, know your place in this battle. Our place is hidden in Christ. Can you write that down, please, Christian? Our place is hidden in Christ. That's what the Bible says about us. Our lives are hidden in Christ. Covered, veiled. That's the beautiful thing Paul the Apostle says concerning us. He says, you and I, we do not know each other anymore after the flesh, but only after Christ. Isn't that great?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Temptation, What Are We to Do? Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, Temptation, What Are We to Do? Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke, one of our four Gospels, and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, God has an amazing inheritance waiting for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He wants you to know all about it. Salvation is only possible for those who give their lives to Jesus Christ. But if you're not sure how to go about that, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that says Know God, that's spelled out K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll find the full meaning of what salvation in Jesus Christ is all about. There's even a way for you to email us and tell us all about your decision to follow Christ. Again, that's the tab labeled Know God, and you'll find it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.